Dr. Peter Larkins to join me very shortly to talk about Charlie Kerner and the fact he's not playing in 2020. Now David Teague's confirmed that. But Marty in Melton's giving us a call. Welcome to you, Marty.
Mate.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, a couple of points with Dino. Firstly, about the players, you know, they've just got to go out and play, mate. How many hundreds of thousands, millions of us have supported them, paying our memberships and stuff all year? And, you know, just get out there and play it and suck it up. I don't care. It's tough. It's tough. Bad luck, right? And the other thing with Dino as well, I feel like we got at least 5 years of his career pinched at the end because the guy stood up for himself and said what he wanted to say, and we missed out on one of our great cricketers. We missed out on a fair bit of his career that could have been great towards the end as well, because Australia, I don't know why he really cares about helping that much, especially in Australia. Go make your money somewhere else, mate.
Well, he has been making his money commentating the IPL and the Pakistan Super League. I might get Dino on, if I can, on a more regular basis, because I'm a bit of a Dino fan, and it's always a good chat with Dean Jones. More of your calls shortly, 1300 736 736, and I'll read out your speckled text and just what you were saying on the players, Marty. Even, you know, when you look at some of the articles written and some of the, you know, Susie O'Brien today doesn't understand in her article, the players have the whole industry in their hands. It's not just their personal circumstance that they've got to assess. That's the thing that they'll assess first and foremost, and that's the only thing that most of the players have commentated and commented on, their own personal circumstance. But it's the whole industry that they've got to consider, including the AFLW industry that's in their hands right now. No footy, as Jeff Kennett says, in 2020 could have huge repercussions for the players who maybe decide not to play in 2020 because not having a season's okay for them. Might not have what they thought they were going to have in 2021 if they don't play in 2020. Dr. Peter Larkins has been good enough to join us before Doc. David Teague said this about Charlie Kerner preparing for the 2020 season without him.
Oh, look, he'll discuss that with our high performance team, but from a coaching point of view, we're going to plan for the year without him, and I think mentally that's where he's at. But if things progress quicker, they progress quicker. We can't really control it, but I think him and the football club will prepare the year without him, and then we'll see how he goes. What our challenge is right now is supporting him and getting him in the best rehab program to allow him to come back the fittest and the strongest he can when he is available, and when that may be, we don't know.
Knee issues, it's a delicate part of the body, and you've got to get it right, otherwise it can dog you for a while. Dr. Peter Larkins for Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's. They're here to help you get your reno done. Their stores are open at Beaumont Tiles. Welcome to you, Peter. Thanks a lot for your time.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. Nice to talk with you again.
Tell us a little bit more about players who have this problem in their knees. A knee cap with screws put in, screws taken out, problems continuing.
Yeah, it's not an everyday conversation with footy injuries normally, Dwayne, but I think we're familiar with patients or players that have a dislocating kneecap, often called a dislocating knee, but it's the kneecap that slips out. And back in your day, Darren Creswell, for example, was famous because he used to put his own kneecap back in when it slipped out. So there's varying degrees of damage that can occur when the kneecap becomes loose and slips in and out. So all through from part of 2018 and certainly through 2019, Charlie Kerner was having trouble with this loose kneecap condition, which he eventually went and had what's called a patellar or kneecap stabilisation procedure was his first operation to try and stop it from slipping out. Now, the problem with that is during the procedure, there was a particular way it was done, Dwayne. Different surgeons have different ways. They put some screws and some drill holes through the patella bone, and they tried to reconstruct the ligament on the side of the knee. So this is quite different from any of the ACL surgery we talk about so routinely. But then he had a mishap during the rehab period only 6 or 8 weeks in, where he tripped or stumbled or did something, whatever that the club was trying to say, and he actually broke through the whole patella bone. So he's gone from having a loose kneecap that slips in and out, Dwayne, that's had a ligament operation done to it, to a fractured kneecap which required wires and more metal to repair the fracture. Now, that is a big deal. So suddenly he's had two operations. Now, the fractures really was the concern, Dwayne, because it does interfere with the cartilage or the cushioning system. And a lot of people that fracture their kneecap are never the same again in the real world. And then on top of that, we heard about 3 weeks ago that he developed a stress reaction around one of the screw holes during very light training because we know players aren't training. So now he's had a third setback in the course. So this has gone October through to January, and then the setback was about a month ago in March or even early April, Dwayne. So it doesn't bode well for any loading that he was going to put it on in 2020 anyway. So I think the realistically the time frame for Charlie Curnow to play football, and remembering there was discussion of him playing round one when there was a real round one planned in the early part, and that was really against all odds, Dwayne, before he had the setbacks. And now these setbacks, I would think he's got to put in a really good 6 months process of rehab.
Yeah, it's a worrying sign for all Carlton fans and footy fans who love seeing Charlie Curnow in full flight. Doctor, I know you've got to go into surgery again shortly, but before I let you go in and out of a hospital most days. Tell me the protocol that you're currently going through to get in and out of your workplace and what hubs might mean in terms of the protocol, even if it's only a three-week hub that players go into to try and get a back to five
very
games
strict.
Done.
Yeah, Dwayne, very strict and very tough. I mean, there's a lot of logistical problems about this hub concept, which you probably don't have time to talk about to me now, but just if you look at just the situation we have with Epworth Hospital and our Epworth Clinic, we've for many weeks had in place where people are being screened beforehand to make sure they haven't travelled and haven't been sick and been in contact with a corona patient, all that standard stuff. They get screened with a temperature check to make sure they haven't got a fever or got any symptoms before they can come into the building, which is the Epworth Centre itself. And then in the clinic that we have, patients have already had the phone call and get temperature checked again. So we've had a very safe or clean environment for patients. The waiting room's spaced out, the intervals of appointments are spaced out, so they're not mixing with other people. So we've been working as a practice. Now, the hospital itself hasn't been doing major surgery, so ACLs and AC joints and all the footy stuff, obviously not happening because there's no footy, and there's been very limited surgery restart this week. 25% of normal workload for people that need knee replacements, hip replacements, that sort of orthopaedic work. So it's gradually a 25% workload coming through. The hub concept means you've got to have total protection that no player is going to be exposed to an infection from another player, from a support staff or from the general public. So there's a real logistical thing of absolutely, it really is isolation that the players would have to be in for an extended period of time, not mixing with anyone. Everyone that goes into the hub will have to be 100% cleared with testing beforehand to make sure they're not an asymptomatic carrier. So an asymptomatic person can still give it to you, Dwayne, even though they haven't got symptoms. It's a huge hygiene nightmare, particularly if you're talking about a squad of 30 to 40 people per club over a period of weeks and weeks. It would be really difficult.
Can it be done, though?
It can be done if you were absolutely strict. I mean, you look at the restrictions in Victoria. We've done a fantastic job. People have whinged a little bit about the restrictions, but you know what? We've done a fantastic job. We have no one in intensive care at Epworth at the moment. We've got very few deaths per head of population. We've done a great job of being restrictive. If you restricted player contact with any outside public, only with themselves, if you tested them, if you made sure they went in clean, then, in other words, no asymptomatic carriers, let alone a symptomatic carrier is not going to get in, so that's the obvious thing there, then you can't catch it if no one's got it. So I guess if you were talking about that, but it's not just players. You know the support staff that are around a club, even if you have skeleton support staff, it's more than just the, if we're playing two games a week, the recovery required means you're going to have a bigger list than just 22 players because clearly players need more rest than 3 or 4 days. So your number of players in the hub, plus the support staff with coaches, assistant coaches, and there's still support staff like trainers and physios required. So you're talking about a fairly big group. It's a lot of people to isolate for an extended period of time, depending on how many games Gill and the commission want to get out in that one hub session, Dwayne.
Before I let you go, Doc, can I get you to put your doctor's hat on? You talk to a lot of doctors as well. A coronavirus vaccine, the worst case scenario is we don't ever get one. What's the best case scenario?
Yep. The best case scenario, and I do talk to a lot of doctors because the health department's regularly communicating with the senior medical staff at the hospitals as well as the sort of work that I normally do, Dwayne, is that it's not going to be likely to be a 2020 development. 2021 is the most likelihood because these vaccines go through rigorous processing to make sure they work. They've got to work in men, they've got to work in women, they've got to work in 20-year-olds and 50-year-olds. So there's all these different levels of vaccine, what's called vaccine efficacy, a VE score, to make sure it actually works. And as you say, it may not. There may not be a vaccine against corona. Let's hope there is. So you're not going to get that. That's the way to stop it, is to be vaccine against it so you don't catch it. So really, until a treatment is developed, which is what they're looking at more closely, we're a long way off from preventing it happening. So the real focus at the moment, Duane, is antiviral treatments to support people who get a significant corona episode that affects their lungs or their liver or their heart disease, because that's clearly the vulnerable group. So the health department with the infectious diseases research is not being optimistic about a 2020 vaccine announcement.
What about a 2020 treatment then?
Yeah, 2020 treatments, I mean, we've seen lots of talk about the anti-malaria drugs that have been put into place, the antiviral drugs, the drugs that are used. So things that traditionally kill certain types of viruses are being looked at to see if there's a crossover effect. This corona is a new strain of virus. It's not a virus that's been, you know, recognised. It's not the same as the flu. It's not the same as the cold virus. So those treatments haven't been around long enough in against corona research to be able to say that they're effective. Clearly, they're being tested. There's all sorts of research. This is the Nobel Prize on offer at the moment for someone to come up with this quickly. You can imagine how it'd be in 2020 if we could come through as a treatment, particularly for the vulnerable people that are dying. And we've seen the deaths around the world be extreme, Duane, even though we're doing a good job with isolation in Australia. So I think a treatment is likely to be available and effective in a time frame much sooner than the vaccine.
So we went to 28, or went our full 28-day cycle, two full 14-day cycles without any new cases in Australia. Can you see large gatherings in Australia happening later in the year?
Yes, I can. I can see smaller gatherings going first before large gatherings. So I think it'll be a sort of a titrated effect, Duane. What I mean by that is, you know, the gatherings of 10 might be allowed, and we do well at that, and we everyone behaves well, and there's no bad behaviour, and suddenly that becomes 50, you know. So we're talking now back in a sort of like a party or a 21st or a wedding. We're not talking about 50,000 people at a footy game or a soccer game or things. But as the months go by, particularly from July onwards, Duane, and we get a much better handle on the behaviour of the virus and perhaps the behaviour of the population, we will see the reintroduction and the easing of restrictions on some of the hospitality areas. Had a very famous restaurant owner in this morning. We talked about the capacity of one of his venues, which being 60 people. He might be allowed to have 10 people, for example. So those sort of gatherings, if you call that a gathering, Duane, are likely to be introduced on a trickle-down effect once the health department is clear that people have the understanding they still have to be careful in that environment.
You reckon you and I will ever shake hands again?
Absolutely, Duane. You owe me a couple. I think, you know, in all seriousness, I do reckon the springtime is what we've got to focus on. I don't think we need to look at the winter as being a much of the restrictions again. I think we'll be blowing kisses across the room for a while yet, Duane.
Good stuff, Doc. I'm blowing you one right now. Appreciate you coming on.
thank you, mate. Keep healthy and nice to talk to you. So.
The one and only Dr. Peter Larkins. Nice to tap into a brain that's educated on all this stuff rather than having to speculate and guess. 1-300-736-736. Carlton fans, if you want to talk about Charlie Curnow, anybody wanting to talk about Hubs, if you want to talk about something completely different, jump on the line as well. 1-300-736-736. Is the number. If Scott Morrison walks to the microphone, we will cross to our Prime Minister as soon as he does that. It's pretty much D-Day for the AFL. They've put this proposal to Federal Cabinet to try and get footy up and running. Going to try and find out from Federal Cabinet whether the border restrictions might be eased 11th of May or mid-May to allow a footy season, a normal round two, fly-in, fly-out kind of round two, to happen if the restrictions are brought down, those border restrictions. If they're not, then we might be starting the season in Hubs. So a pretty big day for the AFL to find out what their way forward is. You heard Gil McLachlan earlier on telling us about that. And I want to take your calls as well. Michael Carayannis from the Daily Telegraph is going to join me to talk about a couple of developments in the rugby league circles. But the interesting part about sport people complaining about no privacy or social media causing angst in their lives is this growing percentage of sports people who are causing themselves grief, causing their sport grief and costing themselves fines. It's not just people, you know, strangers in the streets taking photos or videos of these people that cause trouble. It's just this growing percentage that perplexes me of blokes posting their own pictures on social media, posting their own videos that are incriminating them in some respects, their own tweets and their own friends and family using social media. 1-300-736-736. Craig Bellamy has spoken strongly to the Melbourne Storm players today. Fremantle footballers who were fined this week, no police action, but they were fined. Four NRL players who were fined this week posted their own stuff. Otherwise, no one would really have known. No fines, no anxiety issues. their lives stay private. Israel Folau, his tweets, he could have kept his personal view private, but it was the fact that he decided to tweet it out that saw the bomb dropped pretty much in his sport. Gary Ablett's tweet caused him a couple of months of boos and some grief. It's not that hard if you want to be smart about your use of social media. Either be smart about it or get off it. We'll talk about that after the break as well. 1-300-736-736. You at Dwayne's World.